I didn't sign up for that.
Welcome to the Anchor Me Farm podcast. This is Brian.
I'm Kara.
And as you could tell from the title, this is going to be our last episode.
What's the title?
It's going to be a farewell title. I haven't made it up yet, but they're going to see the title before they listen to what we're saying right now.
Gotcha.
I don't think we should fake them out with the title.
Yeah. Sadly, time is not on our side. And this podcast, although we enjoy making it together, it takes up a lot of time. And sadly, we don't have a lot of listeners. So
it'd be one thing if it took off, but we barely know what we're doing. And it's a lot of time to record, a lot of time to edit. And the dogs are never under control. We don't have a studio. And as the summer approaches, finally, mysteriously, all of a sudden the snow melted and then we had a couple of warm, sunny days. It's crazy. But we're going to end up building a bunch of stuff and doing a bunch of stuff. And today's a great example. We've got an enclosure for the ducks that we are putting together today. And it's fiddly. It takes time. Time I would normally be spending editing this podcast, I need to be spending building that stuff.
Yeah, and fences and buildings.
All kinds of things.
There's a lot happening at the farm, but I mean, you can always follow us on Instagram, Facebook,
TikTok
sometimes when I have time. We'll eventually do a YouTube. Again, time is part of the problem. But
and we're also going to have a YouTube channel, but it's not going to be like a regular show or anything. It's going to be just videos that we make and post when we have time.
Yeah.
As we do projects, I'll probably take videos of the project and then put it together later. But that's not the kind of thing where, you know, we have to have this done by this time to publish at this time. If we have a really busy couple of weeks, we might not post anything. And then we might post more stuff when we have a chance.
Yeah, and the podcast you kind of have to do weekly, so the schedule's not really working. And the bakery is going to get busier in the summer.
Which is a good thing, yeah. But that's also a lot of time.
But time, it all boils down to time.
Yeah. And the other, I had something cool I was going to say and it just disappeared. Just the situation we've got right now where the dogs are not settled. Is it like what does it take? 20 minutes?
It takes us 3 hours to.
It doesn't take literally three hours to record.
It can because
it has
dog chaos, there's duck chaos, there's some shenanigans outside we gotta go check on. So
oh, you mean where we've had to turn things off and then go?
Yeah. There's usually like the boys are beating up each other right now out back.
The ducks, yeah.
So
that's another thing.
Just chaos all the time here.
Yeah, like right now we've got our boys and girls separated as the ducks are concerned. And a lot of the boys are mallards and they can walk right through one of our fences. The fence that divides the two pastures that we have, we call them pastures, but it's just the part of the property that we have cleared out is basically divided into three parts. There's a little flattish area in front we call the goat yoga area. There's the primary area, and then there's the place right behind the house we call the dog pasture because it's like the backyard where the dogs go sometimes. And the fence between them was here when we bought the place, and it's a 4-inch by 4-inch grid, and the mallards can just walk right through it.
Yeah.
Like it's not there. So I've got to...
they got to, like, snag and...
Yeah, they got to work it, but there's one place Kara pointed out where one of them shot through. She's like, oh, there's the weakness. There's one that's wider. So I've got to go across the whole bottom of that thing with chicken wire because that's probably going to be cheaper than replacing the whole thing. That's going to take time. There's so many things that take time. And when we podcast, we have to actually sit down right at now on a schedule and have a block of time to do it.
And have topics. And
all the animals have to cooperate with us.
We try to get interviews with people, but other people are too busy to get interviews for. So it's just a to-do. Really.
And the time when other people are not busy does not always match up with you know, our time schedule. When we're not busy.
Yeah.
So it's just a real drag. And it would be one thing if we had a bunch of money and staff and all that stuff. You can make any podcast go if you got a bunch of money to pump into it. But two regular people screwing around.
And we do appreciate the listeners who did listen. And I hope you keep following on our other social media avenues. And it'll get better because I'm going to have a little guidance on that area. So,
yeah, and that's the kind of thing that you can do as you're walking around the farm. You see something funny and you just video it. And then you put it together later. Put it in the list of things that you're going to post.
Or don't put it together later. I just post it.
Yeah, there's that too. Like there's one thing I should have posted. I was getting the pine shavings out of a storage shed and it had an earthworm on the plastic package around the pine shavings. And so I grabbed the earthworm and I stepped over it. Well,
yeah.
We've done worse. We're always playing this game we call, is it mud or is it poo?
I know. Yeah. It's
so
a
an
fun
earth,
game.
An earthworm's not going to scare me. But I picked up the earthworm and then I walked over and I picked up one of the chickens. I got her and she didn't want to eat it right from my hand. So I put her on a rock and I put the earthworm on a rock and then she ate it and she had a nice little breakfast treat. And it was kind of nice, you know, and I should have filmed that. The first thing Kara asked me when I told her about it, she's like, did you film it? I was like, no, I should have. But we'll try to catch these moments in between trying to adjust things and build things. We also have to make adjustments from last winter, this just past winter.
Yeah, there's a lot. We mentioned trees down, and we got to... I mean, there's just so much.
There are things that broke. There are things that didn't work. There are things that did work, and we're going to do more of that because we only experimented, you know?
Tighten up fences.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's certain places where I'm going to build a wooden picket fence with cedar posts. There's other places where it's better to keep doing T-posts and the heavy woven horse fence. But all that stuff has got to get done. And now that the weather is starting to cooperate, I'm going to be building an actual duck house. So yeah. That's going to be fun.
Because we'll have more grill ducks on their way at the end of this month. And then... we're also getting pigs, so our schedule is going to be very, very tight.
You know, all those episodes where I said we're not getting pigs?
We're getting pigs. We actually took a pig class yesterday. It was a lot of information and nice people running it, so...
Kara was taking furious notes. Burning up her notebook.
Let me give you the name of... because it's the other nonprofit that we kept meaning to go to, but again, time.
They're actually a sanctuary.
They are for animals. Darrowberry Farm Sanctuary. Am I pronouncing that correctly? I'm sorry.
Darrowby Farm.
Darrowby. I think it's named after a book or something.
They told us, and then we forgot.
And then we forgot, of course.
So, but Darrowby Farm Sanctuary.
They're in Jefferson. Very nice couple. Have a lot of pigs, and they take such good care of everybody.
They
so,
have giant pigs,
yeah,
like farm
humorous.
Pigs.
Yeah, they're enormous. And Brian's like, that's not the size we're getting, right? Because I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah, we're getting Cooney Coonies, which are much smaller.
Yes.
They're like the real-life miniature pig. A lot of people will tell you that you're getting a mini pig or a teacup pig or something.
They don't exist.
Yeah, there's no such thing. The only thing that happens with those tiny, tiny pigs is that they're not being fed, so they can't grow. That's all that is.
Which is horrible.
It's abuse. But there is such a thing as a miniature pig. It's called a Cooney Cooney.
Or a potbelly, although Cooney Coonies are actually a little smaller than potbellies.
Yeah, so your miniature pig in real life is going to be a Cooney Cooney, and they get up to...
Males can get like between, what is it, 120, 150 if you,
they can get up to 180, I think.
Yeah, let me just double check.
Basically, Cooney Cooney pigs could possibly be the weight of a grown man. Or they could be smaller. but you don't know how big a pig is going to get until they get there. But if you're thinking of a miniature pig, you're thinking of something approximately the same weight as a person. There is no miniature pig that is 30 pounds, 40 pounds, fit in a purse. It's going to be the size or the mass of a human being or more. Like yeah, some of these farm pigs.
The largest would probably be like 200. So
they top out at 200 pounds?
Yeah.
But on the low side, they're like 130.
Yeah, you don't want to overfeed pigs because that's part of the problem. People will use them for meat and overfeed them. They get so big they can't see. They get blind because their fat rolls, kind of like a pug. They'll just roll over their eyes and they won't be able to see anything.
And a lot of the food is designed to make them gain weight because they're assuming that you're keeping the pig for food. So they said to get, was it piglet food?
Like what they have for dogs or cats, there's stages of food. So basically a piglet type food, the early on food, the adolescent growing stages, they'll need a little more calories because they're trying to put on weight and they're running around everywhere going crazy. And then once they get a little older, you want to kind of average their weight. You don't want them to gain any, but you just want it to keep it stable. Yeah,
you got to keep an eye on them because they're supposed to gain weight when they're growing into adulthood. But when they get to adulthood, you want to be careful. Every pig that went to that sanctuary lost weight when they got there.
Yeah.
By a large amount. And got healthier.
And just because you feed them vegetables and stuff, they still gain weight with vegetables.
That's still calories. That's
calories you gotta consider. So.
Yeah, because people they're being loving. They're thinking, hey, a bunch of apples for the pigs. They toss them out. But yeah, you need to be careful how much, because a pig will continue to eat forever if you let them.
Yeah, they're not like ducks or chickens where they'll just eat and then go on their way. Like goats, you actually give them a shot, the CDT, which part of it's tetanus, but the other, the CD part, I can't remember the acronym words for it, but
look, CDT, like cat dog train, like, yeah. CDT.
So part of it is to help them to not overeat, so they get that shot every year. But pigs don't get that, so there's a possibility they could overeat. And the same thing happened with donkeys, because I did a lot of research on donkeys, because originally we thought we were getting them, but it's not going to happen. So pigs, it's the same thing, so we got to be careful.
Yeah, and they say, like, for a couple of pigs, you want an acre for every two pigs. But
well,
those
are larger pigs.
They were talking about farm pigs.
Yeah.
So cuny cunies don't need as much space, but from what we could tell looking around on the interwebs from people who have cuny cunies, they don't root as much as other pigs, but they still root. So if they have the run of the farm, they're going to eat grass first before they start rooting, and eventually they're going to root a little bit, but it's not going to be that bad. If you want them to really churn some stuff up, you enclose them in a smaller area.
Yeah, or so, if they're really bored, they'll root up because they're super bored.
Yeah. Now, in our case, we have an area that I do want them to root up. So I'm going to have, and I've got to build fences for, we've got 5 dead trees that the tree removal guy is going to drop for us, but he wants a fence taken down. The fence isn't the problem, it's the T-posts. The T-posts.
Well,
could,
and the fence, because there are a couple of trees that are kind of precarious, and when they drop them, they will fall on the fence, and the T-posts are right in the drop zone, so.
So he doesn't want any kind of weird stuff to happen with a T-post for safety reasons?
Yeah.
And because we were like, go ahead and pancake the fence, it's fine, but it's better if I take that down. But that's our perimeter fence. So that means the fence that I used to have, the very first fence I built when we first got the goats, that I tore down so that we could have a larger area for them, I'm going to have to put that whole fence back. And I'm going to subdivide a small section near the top for the pigs. We're just going to basically change up the pigs' lives as they go. We're going to have to get a building for the pigs, because here's the ironic thing. I can build a pig shelter, no problem. My carpentry is good enough for a pig shelter. It's fine. But we can't purchase a building large enough for the duck population that we're going to have. We need a larger house for the girls.
Yeah, because we're also getting ducklings this year.
Our male-female ratio is terrible right now, and we need a lot more girls to get that evened out. And after we get the girls, it's going to take them a long time to grow. And having the ratio we had, we wind up with all these girls that prolapsed because, like I've said before, climate change has thrown everything off. Everybody's reproductive systems were out of whack. They weren't dormant the way they should be. And once somebody prolapses, the boy ducks were pecking at it. So it's everything is added up. All the factors added up. And everybody that guessed, maybe it's this, everybody was right. All of it was that. So it was just a car crash of factors. So we've got the boys and girls separated, and we're going to give the girls enclosures so that they can't wander off to try to make a nest and get, you know, in trouble. But we still need a house for the girls. There's going to be a lot of them.
Yeah. I couldn't even order as many as we actually needed, because you normally you need 3 to 4 girls per boy, but that would be kind of ridiculous. So we'll have at least 2 girls per boy.
Yeah. And then
maybe
we're done with ducks forever.
No, we're not. No. I love my ducks.
But the thing is, I've got to construct a building big enough for them, because we can't afford to purchase a building that large.
Yeah, it has to be like a 10 by 12 at least. That's the smallest we could go.
For the square footage. So I'm going to build it 16 feet long, because I want it to be in multiples of 4 and 8, because that's the size of the plywood that I'm going to buy. We found out, did we mention last time about the T111?
I don't know if we did.
You know what? I know what we did. We theorized that there might be multiple kinds of T111.
And I looked it up. Yes, there's a cheap kind, which we used on the chicken house. And then there's the better kind that our goat house is made out of. So there is a difference.
Right. So the stuff that the guy sold me originally was because I wanted to save money, and he helped me out. But that stuff was not intended to be an outside kind of surface. That's meant for you to build inside, or inside a structure that's all sealed up from moisture. Because that's the T111, the cheap stuff that acts like a sponge, and you have to do 2 or 3 coats of paint on it before it's finally painted.
It's also the stuff that some of our breezeway walls are made out of, so that explains a lot.
Yeah, yeah, now that we know what it is.
Yeah.
But there's another kind that some of our other buildings are made out of, and those are really sturdy. Yeah. So I'll just have to price everything out, and it may be T111, it may be something else. But they tend to give you 4x8 sheets of it. And so I want the buildings to be kind of in that kind of ratio. But maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be 10 by 12. Maybe I'll do that. It all depends on how I'm going to build it. We're not going to have a gravel pad for that. I'm trying to save money. So I'm going to get like 6x6 posts. I wanted to use trees from the property, but for a project this big and I've never built a building before, I feel like I should give myself as much of a break as I can. So I'm going to get nice milled lumber that's pressure treated and you can stick right in the ground. And I'm not sure whether I'm going to use them as feet and put the building on top of it, or use them as the corners and do notches. But I'm trying to look up on YouTube, and I'm trying to find somebody that's building a small building instead of a giant barn. Because every time you say pole barn, everybody's got 1,000 acres. And they've got a bunch of money and heavy equipment, and they're building some giant shop to fix trucks in or something. It's really frustrating that I can't find anything similar to what we're doing. So we might be that YouTube channel. The YouTube channel we have for Anchor Me Farm is going to be focused on the nonprofit. It's going to be stuff about the animals. It's going to be stuff about things that we do for the nonprofit. So if it's not about the nonprofit, it's probably not going to be on the channel.
Yeah, because we have to be careful. I mean, it gets... the lines get wary. Wary? I don't know.
Blurry.
Blurry. When it comes to nonprofit, we kind of have to stick within those guidelines because we are a nonprofit.
But the general rule for nonprofits is you just have to use all the money for what you said you would use it for. In the case of a YouTube channel, it's more of a branding thing. Like if we have a YouTube channel with all kind of crazy stuff on it, it won't promote the nonprofit and people won't understand what we're doing. So if the branding of the organization is on the YouTube channel, which it's going to be, every video we do needs to explain and reinforce what we're trying to do with the nonprofit.
Right. So basically the YouTube channel will share like the people building that will be built on site, and I'll do a video on that if the guys are okay with that. And there'll be profiles on the animals and how to care for them, stuff like that. Like, and then our activities, I'll do a video on some of the activities that we do here and stuff like that. So it's still informational. And then...
Right. So it's not going to be like a social media influencer kind of channel. It's just going to be to help with the nonprofit.
And then building stuff, I guess, kind of falls in that.
Well, it's for the animals. I guess it could apply. But I've also personally thought about doing a YouTube channel when I know how to do something. I've been tempted to have a channel where I just make like a 1 or 2 minute video doing the thing. And I don't talk about my family. I don't talk about what I had for lunch. I just tell you exactly what you searched for.
Yeah.
And then the video's over. My
there won't be a 2 minute theme song.
Right. My North Star for this is when we had the lawn tractor, we had an X580 John Deere lawn tractor. And every year I'd take the mower deck off and put a third party snowplow blade on it. And I needed to know how to take the mower deck off and put it back on. And there was this dude I found that made a video where all he did in the video was that. He took the mower deck off, put it back on, and it talked about the different parts, and everything was all about removal and replacement of the mower deck. I didn't have to skip through 2 minutes of him talking about his kids. And like, yeah, I want to make a channel like that. But it's something that actually helps people. So I might make a few videos here and there. Or if they're short enough, I may put them on TikTok. Who knows? But as far as the nonprofit's YouTube channel, it's going to be working hard to try to explain what Kara's trying to do. And I think that's going to become clear with the people building once we can have things instead of setting chairs out and hoping it doesn't rain.
I know. We have tents, but there's only so much that tents can do. And I feel like if we had an actual building that people can come to.
The trouble is, because the whole point is for you to de-stress with the animals, we're going to let the animals into the people building, but we're going to leave it closed to them most of the time. The animals will only be in there when people are in there.
Which they'll hate, because they'll be like, I want to come in this building. It's so nice.
But it might be better, because if you have like a support group or something in the people building, and you open up the doors wide open, all the goats are going to come running in like, oh, we're not allowed in here.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, fancy.
So you'll instantly have a dozen goats in the room with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be like a dual purpose. We're going to have to, it's mainly for human beings to be in and use, but animals are going to go in there, which means it's going to have to be swept and cleaned out occasionally.
Yeah. So we're always looking for volunteers. I keep posting about it. I mean, we have two excellent volunteers, and they're awesome, and I love them, and I appreciate all they do.
They helped us get started on the enclosure for the front of house ducks.
And they may be joining our board. We got to vote them in, but I think it's a shoo-in. So.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be
no
fussing about that.
So, and they're great supporters, so I think it'll just be great. And then, so, but we're always looking for volunteers because there's always something to do, whether it's helping to clean out animal houses or pick up sticks, which I know is like an old timer game.
You could think of it as a game.
I mean, yeah.
It's work to improve the place for people. And if you want to help.
To make it look nicer, yeah.
Yeah. And all the birds are laying, so you'd get so many eggs.
Yeah.
It would just give you baked goods and eggs.
And if you want to do more, I mean, if you have building skills, obviously we could always use that.
And of course, if our two volunteers we have now, if they said, can I come over and walk back there and just hang out with the goats for a little while? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And they don't have to, like, I don't have to be back there with them.
No, we trust them with the goats. The goats love them. The dogs love them because
we introduced them today.
Tested that today.
The dogs are very loud and very excited, and it's just so noisy, especially with little Scotland. He is a noisy little boy.
Loud.
But yeah, they got accustomed to them, and after a while, it was fine. The one problem I forgot about this because I haven't built anything up front in a while. And if I had remembered, I would have warned them. But when you open up a box and you're building something, like a shelter logic shed in a box or an enclosure for a chicken run or a duck run, Aberdeen will run up to you and she'll just grab a little plastic bag full of nuts and bolts and screws and just run away. And she tends to grab the one that you've already opened.
And so all of them.
She'll grab it and run with it. And of course, there's a hole in the bag because you opened it and you're trying to get the screws out, right? So you open the bag, you tear open a hole, you take out the screw you need, the nut you need, whatever. You're working with that. Aberdeen runs off with the bag and all the parts just fall out while she's running.
Yeah.
And so they were like, oh, we've lost some screws. And I looked at it, it was like Danielle, and it looks like, this is not the first time that this has happened to somebody, and I apologized for not warning them.
I totally forgot that she stole it, because we're...
I mean,
the last time we built something was with the goats, and they do the same thing. They don't run off with it,
but up front,
they'll tear stuff up.
Up front, so. It was the shelter logic, and it was the little blue shelter that we always talk about. Because I anchored that thing down when we first put it in, and then we removed the anchors so we could move it to different parts of the yard.
Big mistake.
Yeah, big mistake, because then the windstorms. The ducks are so afraid of that thing now. Mm-hmm. They won't hide under it because the windstorms have picked it up and slung it at them a few times. So I'm going to have to go dig up wherever I put the anchors in the garage, and we've got that one and another one. We're going to just anchor stuff down. We'll decide where it's going to live, and we'll put it down. But the last time I put something together was that little blue shelter. Hmm. And then before that, the shelter logic. And I wound up having to go to our general store, Huzzy's, to get parts because Aberdeen ran off with parts. So it's been done to me. And I just immediately, like, Danielle's like, we lost some parts. And it's like, I'm the one that feels guilty here. I wish I'd remembered. Because I could have told everybody and you could have been on guard.
I mean, I should have known because she goes into the laundry basket and grabs all.
Yeah,
the
but
things.
But that's a very specific behavior that I knew about, and I didn't remember or say anything. So anyway, we got it done. I went to the general store and I got screws that matched, and everything worked out. And we the volunteers got the frame built for it, and then they've got this this lightweight chicken wire that goes over it that's easy to work with, but it's not very strong. And I started putting that over. That's the fiddly bit. That's the part that's kind of tough. But I guess we should do the second part later, after we talk about one more thing, because today we got
a
text.
We got to say that Vivor made the chicken
enclosures. Yeah.
So I highly recommend that company. They kind of make everything.
Your mixer came from them?
My mixer. We got...
like a big industrial mixer.
Yeah. Livestock scale from them. We haven't used it yet because it's kind of intimidating. But we've gotten a lot of stuff from them, and they're really great. And you can use, like, payment plans where it's not a credit card, but they take it out of your account, and it's easier. So, VEVOR.com.
Yeah. So, we highly recommend. This enclosure we got is just, it's just tent poles with some light chicken wire over it. It's not very sturdy. On the instructions, it's like, if you have large predators around, build a protective fence, you know. So it really is just to keep the birds from wandering off and to keep predator birds from flying in and grabbing your birds. That's what it's for. It's not there for coyotes or anything like that.
Yeah, don't keep them in it overnight because that's just stupid. But
yeah. So basically, ours are going to be running around there during the day, and then at night they're going to be in their house. And we've pushed it right up to the door, the little chicken door that the ducks use to come out. So it's a pretty sweet little deal, and the volunteers helped us get started on it. And I'll fiddle with the rest of it and get the rest of it done. But besides all of that, we did have something happen today that's a little extra special.
Oh, yeah. So...
And this is why we are going to have to do the podcast in parts. I'm surprised we've gone as far as we did in one sitting.
It's kind of like past the D-I-N-N-E-R time for the dogs, but shh. We had scheduled a shearing for our sheep. We got 3 baby doll sheep, and it was going to happen at the end of this month, but she had some extra time today. She's like, I could come by this evening or tomorrow morning. I'm like, well, what does this evening mean to you? And then she texted back and she's like, well, it could be 2:30 to 3 because we're in Westbrook, and then they'd have to drive up to Windsor. So we're like, all right, let's just do it. Let's do it because they're miserable because it's getting warmer and
they've got a huge really wool fluffy coat on. I mean, think about a wool sweater. Think about wearing 5 of those.
Yeah, and now the weather is actually nice, and they were dry.
Oh, my God.
Luckily.
The weather shifted. That winter storm we complained about last episode, it's all melted away, and we're on our second sunny day so far.
Yeah, we had snow, and then was snow last weekend? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
So we had snow last week. Then we had this weird eclipse, which really, it wasn't anything.
It dimmed for us. We weren't in the path of totality.
We were like, oh my gosh, we gotta care about the animals, but they didn't care. So it's like, but I got like 5 billion bug bites. Anyway, so she texted and she's like, I come by, and we're like, let's do it. So we did it, and I have no idea who's in our yard right now.
Right.
They look completely different. They lost like 100 pounds, I swear.
It is. We can actually see what the sheep's bodies look like.
It's like, oh my gosh, that's what you look like? And Glasgow is actually black.
Yeah, it turns out the black wool bleaches in the sun and turns brown. So, but yeah, everything under that outer layer was black.
It's so crazy. And she did it so fast. It was kind of amazing.
She just, so basically she grabs their head and wrenches them around and then grabs their feet and then they're kind of on their back. And I was like, oh, wise Jedi master, teach me your ways.
She did Glasgow first, and he's normally the worst of all of them. So that was impressive.
She said he was the smartest because he laid like real peaceful and then he suddenly tried to get away. Yeah. But she said, think like a lion, you know, get the head and you control the sheep. If you don't have the head, then they're in control. And I was like, that explains a lot, because when I've done their feet, I just wrestle them around the midsection in the corner of their building.
Yeah.
And it's a serious problem. She just absolutely controlled the sheep. We blocked them into a small area, a small pen, and it was no big deal to her.
Yeah, I have some on video, and I'll eventually post it to TikTok or Instagram. So keep an eye on for that. But they look completely different.
And they're going to feel a lot better, too.
They are.
There was a little cut on Erin from the clippers. And I was like, oh, I think she got cut. And the shearer was like, that's okay. Apparently the wool from sheep, the oils are like a natural antiseptic. And she's going to heal up just fine.
Yeah, and I would have put something on it, but it didn't look like it was like bleeding. It just looked like a spot, so I didn't want to...
It's a minor cut, and...
It wasn't like dripping or anything, so...
Yeah, the shearer said it'd be fine in a week.
Yeah.
So just give her a little time. And so we will, but we've already made it to 37 minutes before I've edited. And so this won't be the 37-minute mark for the listener, but I'm surprised we got this far. Before we close, we should tell you what happened to all those ducks who had the prolapsed oviducts, including Holtman.
Yes. Holtman was our first duck that we discovered had the prolapse, and she had the first surgery, and we thought she was recovering, and then she had a prolapse relapse, so to speak. And it got really scary because...
We thought this was going to be a pattern where it popped out every time she laid an egg. And Kara wouldn't give up on any of them. There were like eight or nine?
Yeah.
Varying degrees. And as time went on, some of them recovered pretty quickly.
But they were all... How do you put a duck down that's healthy, that's eating, drinking, vocal... has huge personality? How do you even do that? I don't understand.
So Kara was refusing to even have that option. So as we cared for all of them, we were putting Preparation H in there and Vaseline to keep it from drying out. And after some time, they all started recovering.
Yeah, and I've been checking on them daily now that they're outside. Like, they don't like you bending down and looking at their... But you got to do what you got to do.
Right. And we were picking them up and checking them every day and writing down the date and how well they looked.
And inside. Inside,
when they were in the laundry room. So we have some data to give to the veterinarian so she'll have something to draw from. But every day that we were going, Holtman had no change at all. And then we had some hard conversations about Holtman, and Kara was not going to give up. So Holtman was on track to be a house duck.
Yeah, we were preparing to have her live inside with everyone and acclimate
yeah.
her to the dogs, and she'd be sitting on the couch with us.
Because the thing is, as long as you keep that tissue from drying out, you're fine. I mean, well, not you're fine, but that's the goal, is to keep it from drying out. And I was concerned that as summer picked up, we wouldn't have the time and it'd get away from us. But as we were... talking about it, she started to have improvement.
Yeah, which is a miracle.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy, but she wound up recovering pretty much completely, and she just needed a ridiculous amount of time.
She was in here for a little over a month, so if you're ready to give up on your duck after a week, maybe you found it too late. I don't know what the case might be, but... Perseverance and TLC, I mean, they can turn around. It just takes time.
And what she meant about not finding them soon enough is a lot of people don't notice this problem until a week later, 2 weeks later, and the tissue's already in real trouble by the time they even find out about it. Whereas for us, Kara is on top of that, so we discovered these problems pretty much immediately. And according to the vet, we were faster than most.
Yeah.
So if you catch it early, the duck has a pretty good chance of recovery.
You hope. Or then they become an inside duck if you want to take that on. Which we were going to, because Holtman is, like, adorable.
And now we're building enclosures to not only protect our female ducks from predatory birds, but from the boys. And... in the front, we're protecting the ducks that can't move very well from the other ducks that can. And a lot of them have severe leg problems, and they can get along okay as long as they're not beat up.
Yeah, now we have two more ducks inside because of leg problems. One from the back, Whitburn, who's a runner, and then Carlo from the front, who's a Duclair.
So, and they're all fine except in the house.
they get run over, and then outside they try to move around. Like, was it Whitburn?
Whitburn, yeah.
Whitburn is trying to wander the whole property with everybody else. She can't keep up, and her leg doesn't get better. So we had to lock her in the house all day. Finally brought her inside. They were running over her.
She wasn't healing quick enough. I mean, a leg injury will take time, but she needs more.
It's like a bad sprain. And nothing's broken, but it's like a bad sprain, and she needs to be able to recover.
And we got to do water aerobics and all that fun jazz.
Yeah, so we're creating a safer environment in the front and the back for all the ducks so that we don't have these kind of injuries anymore. And
it gets bad with ducks because the boys will tackle each other because if there's not enough girls, they're like, well, what else is there? There's you. You're subdued enough. So my poor Brave Ray is getting beat up. And Carrig and Donegal are lesser aggressive mallards are getting beat up. So it's a bad scene out there.
So we're just going to have to manage all that as best we can until we get the new girl ducks and they grow up and our ratio improves. So that's...
It's still not going to be enough, but it'll be better than it was.
Much better. Yeah. Because we're not going to get enough because that would require us to order a ridiculous amount of ducks.
Yeah, we don't have enough space for all the ducks we need. All
right. So we're rambling a little bit. And this is our last podcast, so we should sign off.
Yes. Thank you for listening, and you can still find us. We still exist. It's just...
It's like we said earlier, we're on the socials. Yeah. So look us up, Anchor Me Farm.
Yep.
And until then, have a good whatever you're doing.
Bye.